underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Chartreuse! The only liquor so good they need the color after it.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their bloodstains.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mom.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
So, Dana, it happened. I got my Tenet Bray still book.
Yep. And your loving wife's the one that got it in out of the mailbox, right?
Oh, I'm so happy that you walked 5 feet.
Hey, well, I could have left it out there in the elements.
It was pretty wrapped, so it'd have been all right. Don't worry about it.
Well, I was nice.
You were nice.
Yeah, and I'm also excited about Steve getting this because Tenebrae's one of my favorite Argento movies. And people will probably scream bloody murder, but it's probably second in my top ones. Deep Red, Tenebrae, and Suspiria. And I know some people put Suspiria higher, but...
Well, I mean, I think I might have saw this on satellite. They had a station in New York, that WOR, that used to show a lot of stuff that I'd never seen. I saw Hell Night on there for the first time. This is back in the early 90s, and I think they probably showed this, but the DVD, when it came out, I watched that back in the 99, 2000 era, when all these were coming out from Anchor Bay. We just finished watching, one of the main reasons I got this was they had a documentary. It's called Yellow Fever, which is funny.
About Giallo.
About the rise and the fall of the Giallo documentary. It had usual talking heads, like Kim Newman and...
Mm-hmm. And that one guy, the bald guy, I can't remember.
Alan Jones.
Yeah.
He's a big freaking Argento nut. Mm-hmm. He went to the... He goes sometimes...
They talk to Luigi Cozy.
Yeah, well, they talked to Lindsay, they talked to Derrida, they talked to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Barbara Boucher.
Yeah,
she was the only...
Well, in Steve's opinion, a very sexy Barbara Boucher.
She's part of the Holy Trinity of Edwin, her, and her. Rosaba.
Oh, gosh.
If they had all three on there, the fucking planet would blow up.
Yeah, they can't have them together. If they had all three of them on a documentary, Steve would blow up, if you know what I mean.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I think last time I saw, even though Hostel 2 is horrible, it was at least you got to see Edwin in modern day, and she didn't have a wrinkle on her face. She looked incredible.
Now, Rosalba looks like a grandma.
Yeah, well, she was older than all of them. Mm-hmm. She was a few years older.
And she's heavier now.
Hey. Eating all that good food and drinking wine.
Italian food.
But anyway, the documentary, what was your thoughts?
It was interesting. I might like to go back and
I got a few extra titles that I want to see.
Steve was researching. Really researching those titles. They even had to run it back to get some.
Screaming Mimi is an American movie, but I think it is anyway. I have it on DVD somewhere. I have to find it. I like to see that because that was. And then they had a few other ones.
I have a question, though. I'm looking at this menu, and it says, play Tenebrae with rare English inserts. I get that via seamless branching. What does that mean?
It just means it's going to go.
It just means it's seamless.
Yes, it branches off into that chapter.
Okay.
I have no clue what that's one of the things. I thought, well, oh, shit, there's our dog barking. But
one
anyway.
Of our dogs.
It also has a great alternate title, Unsane. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody that we know usually says that. You're insane.
Yeah.
But
instead of insane.
Yeah. That's insane. So, it's just from the clips of the menu playing over. The transfer looks pretty damn good. So, we're going to. So far, I agree with the documentary. It was interesting. Pretty informative. If you've never seen any of these movies, I would probably not watch it because it does spoil some of them.
It gives away some things.
And it does. I mean, I can't say.
The way I look at it.
You look at it.
If you're interested enough to watch this documentary, then you've probably already seen these films
right.
Anyway.
And
the majority.
Another thing is, I think it's pretty much standard. If you haven't seen the movie, don't watch any extras. That's my standard thing.
Don't listen to the commentary.
Well, I wouldn't want to listen to the commentary.
Yeah, but some people do, and then they get all pissed because somebody gave away a major plot point.
Well, then they're stupid. I don't watch that.
I know.
You watch the movie. You don't watch it with fucking commentary the first time you see it.
I don't know why people do that.
Well, they're dumb. Anyway, the documentary, informative, but... And Doc Dana says, it did give me a few movies that are older, like in the 50s or very early 60s. So I'm looking at those. And there's a few new ones that they had mentioned. I can't find that Para 3D, unfortunately. But I will look into it further.
Is that a 3D Jalo?
I imagine with the title. I don't know if it's strictly a Jalo or not, but anyway. So we're going to watch this, and then we'll come back and give you our full thoughts on the transfer and everything.
Which I think it's going to be pretty positive.
I don't think we're going to have too much to say negatively about the transfer.
If anyway.
But you never know. But we'll, especially with Synapse doing it. So we'll be back after this.
Bye.
Lesbos.
This is a bathroom tip by the Creepy Kentuckian.
If you stand up and start to squeeze it out, it'll start coming out. And I did that today and it helped me out.
Wait a minute.
That was a bathroom tip.
Fucker!
Yo, bitch!
Shame! Shame!
So we just finished the new Blu-ray of...
Which was awesome.
Tenebrae.
We kind of established that before we watched it.
We had a good feeling. So, yeah, the transfer of this is, I would say, A.
I say A+.
Oops. Wait, you got I quote these. I would say A. I don't want to, but it gives me really. It makes me anticipate the Suspiria release.
Steve's always thinking about the next release.
Well, I look towards the future, Dana.
I guess.
But yeah, this
Maybe it is.
I mean, the film itself is interesting. Just because of its structure and stuff. Like the documentary was saying, it's not the standard giallo. You know, to spoil the movie, the main antagonist is the killer, which I really hate that for some reason.
You don't like that? Why? No. Does that bother you?
I just feel like it's, I don't know, it just feels like you're with a character, and it's just like you're not seeing the real character. You're just seeing a facade, or in some cases, it's just like something out of left field that you don't even, doesn't even make sense.
Uh-huh.
I just don't like that. But, you know.
Well, that's Steve.
That's me. But, yeah, I mean, $45 is a lot for this.
Yeah, and then,
I mean, to be honest with you, if they do pull the same thing they did with Demons down the road, I will get Suspiria on a steelbook, I guess. I'll have to do that. But any of the other fucking stuff, if they pull the same stuff where they wait a year or 8 months or something and then release it on standard Blu-ray at a cheaper price, I'm going to be pretty upset, because I just think that's... I just think that's a lame thing to do. I mean, I know you got to pay for the expenses of the restoration and all that, but be true to your word and not release it. You say there's no plans. Well, in 8 months later, you tell me you didn't have plans, you didn't know that there's plans, you're going to do it anyway?
But haven't we figured out that just about all the companies are doing this now?
I don't care, but I mean, I'm going to call them out on it, because I think that's bullshit. Guess what? $45 is a lot for a fucking movie. In a court, I mean, so if they do it, I'm going to crawl bullshit, because that's horseshit when you lie to people. You cannot tell me that you're paying for the rights and you've done all this stuff and you have no idea that you're going to release it at a cheaper rate later on.
Well, they know if they put that clause in there, so to speak, that says are no plans to release it.
That makes people want
to
buy it.
People say, oh my gosh, I better buy it
because I'm not going to get it anywhere else. Well, you do this. Suspiria I will probably go ahead and get. But any other release like this, I'm not going to spend that money. I'm just not doing it. And then I'll just wait, because you've done it. This will be the second time you've done that. And so if it is true, then you'll just do it again. So there is no plans means I'm going to wait 6 months and re-release it and make more money.
But sadly enough, though, Steve, you catch on to that, there will be people that won't catch on.
No, people won't. People
will keep doing it. If everybody would catch on and be on the same page,
then they would be fucked with
they would be
3,000 fucking steelbooks. But we don't know, but, I mean, we'll have to wait. The only time will tell if that's the case. But, I mean, it's just, I don't want to get too negative about Synapsis or Synapse, but it just...
You're going to be corrected, Steve.
I know, I keep saying that. But that part on Demons still irks me that they did that. But anyway, we'll see if they do the same with this. But anyway, the transfer is awesome. Sounds really good.
And it's a decent film.
Yeah.
If you're into Argento, that is.
Yes. So, if you're into it, I would say try to find them at a convention. You probably get a better deal. Probably at least $40 instead of $45. My idea, but who knows.
Was shipping? Did you have to pay any shipping?
I don't know.
Okay.
If I did, it wasn't much. So, I would, convention... Hook up with Synapse and get.
Well, and they might have a deal that they might.
I'm not sure much deal they get on this one, but you never know. But
I mean, you might get something else in addition to it for like
You never know. You might
is
get.
Is it Synapse or one of the other places that always does that?
No, that's Severin.
I thought.
No, Severin was the one.
Severin's the one that like gave us screwballs.
Yes.
And, okay.
So yeah.
Are you sure? I didn't think Severin had been at the place.
No, they were at Horrorhound, or Days of the Dead rather, and they're the ones that do all that crazy shit where they give you fucking deals like $40 for 3D, 3 Blu-rays or
and
something.
And then we'll throw in another.
Yeah, they'll throw in another one. We'll throw in hardware because that didn't sell too good. But anyway. Was so far in a now we're spoiled because we're getting all these great releases.
Look at this stuff and it's like it's not as good as Zombie, you know. Because I see what they did with something like that. Why can't they do that with all of these?
Well, they're gonna have the
did they
the
get
prints.
A good negative?
Yeah.
For Zombie.
Yes.
It must have been pristine.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be, but it has to be decent, and then they can go in and they digitize it, then they can start fixing the imperfections.
Because, I mean, I love the Mutilator, but I was a little disappointed in the transfer. I was expecting that as long as we had to wait, and they were supposed to have gotten this really pristine negative.
I think that there was parts of that looked really, really good.
There was, but I mean, I expected it all to look really, really good. How many months did I have to wait for that thing?
Up to them. But Tenebrae, if you have the money, I say go ahead and get it if you're a Giallo and
they
Argento.
Won't let me buy a copy,
really. Well, I just don't think it's worth it. But anyway, on her end, we already have a copy. So we'll be back after we watch some more stuff. I'll probably watch some more Giallos this weekend, but we'll see.
Steve's probably going to be watching the inside of his eyelids for
a while. Yeah, I'm going to watch a movie I make with my dreams after this.
Bye.
So, I just go running in, we close this house, and there's a bunch of mother flippers sitting at the table, eating politely, but I'm sick, so I decided to kill them. I started with a little prick kid. I blew that little freaking bathroom brain, smeared them all over the carpet, and it starts making this weird. You know that noise? Like when your mom's in the bathroom and you throw the toaster in? Like electrical noise.
Listen to the good music, Damon.
Oh, we're talking then. Okay.
That's what I'm talking. So we watched, Dana got her first viewing of Gilda. Got the Criterion, which what do you think?
I want to watch that again because there were some parts of it I missed.
But what do you think? That's kind of an unusual movie. You wouldn't think I would like that, would you?
No, but I wouldn't have thought unless you told me that your all-time favorite movie was To Kill a Mockingbird either.
Yeah. Well, Kill a Mockingbird and Roadhouse.
Yeah.
But Gilda's a pretty interesting movie. It's the dialogue's a little racy, and I mean, honestly, those two things.
The wardrobe's a little racy.
Well, yeah. The two things that make the movie is Rita Hayworth and then the dialogue with Johnny. If you want to, I forgot how many Johnnies are in this movie, but there's like, they say it at least 100 times.
Have a drinking game.
Yeah, if you want to die, go ahead and do shots. But didn't dwell into the extras. Now, as far as the Blu-ray transfer and stuff, I mean, I really didn't see much. You know, I mean, it's clear and everything, but there's not.
But usually, black and white movies look better than that.
I mean, it's not a bad, but it's not really something that jumped out as far as detail and stuff, which the movie is from 1946, but, you know, whatever. I mean,
for Stephen King fans, if you watched Shawshank Redemption,
the story's called Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption.
The story is called Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption, but the movie's just called Shawshank Redemption. But anyway, Andy Dufresne comes, when he gets to prison, it's in the 40s. And at that time, I guess everybody loved Rita Hayworth, so he asked for a poster of her. He asked Red to get him a poster of Rita Hayworth. Well, they're watching the movie in the prison, and it's Gilda that they're watching, because there's one scene where her husband says, "Gilda, are you decent?" And she flips up and her hair goes back, and the guys in the prison just go crazy over it. And I was like, that's the scene. I remember that.
Right. So
there is a kind of a Stephen King connection, sort of.
Right. And then the next film I watched was Scarecrow, and it had a Stephen King guy in it.
Yeah, but
with Tiffany Shepard.
That's not why Stephen King was not why or Stephen King guy was not why Stephen wanted to watch it.
Well, Tiffany Shepard's got really the bad hair phase of her career, because it's all short.
And at least in I will say this, I did not see her boobies except, you know, in some of those low cut tops. And I didn't see her butt either.
No, she didn't.
She didn't get naked.
No. But it was bad as I imagined. But to be honest with you, I've seen other kind of low-budget slashers. And this one at least had a few things that was beyond that, as far as, I think that thing when they were doing on the truck and stuff like that at the very end, that was kind of a... You know, and then of course there was a burn, a guy catching on fire, mm-hmm. for real. So I mean, they had some stunt work, and you know, they had some.
It
kind
wasn't
of,
CG.
And... Well, yeah, they couldn't do CG. It would look horrible if they did that.
Yeah, but
I was wondering if that was what's going to happen, but and then we watched the Bloodstained Lawn,
which was completely crazy.
Yeah, I thought it was a giallo, but it's really
not.
It's more of just an exploitation kind of crazy movie where this one dude that looks like a busted Daniel Craig picks up all these people and brings them back to his sister's house, and then they kind of mess around with there's an orgy, kind of an orgy, but not really.
Not, it's not like a.
They kind of drug them and then they kind of dance. And then they have this robot that sucks blood out of you.
Yeah.
It's
weird.
It was weird. So, I'm going to try to stay up and watch Svengoolie. So, Dana's going to bet.
Season is every weekend. So, everybody start taking bets on how long Steve will stay awake.
And plus, I had two beers, so, I mean, that even makes you more sleepy. But I'm drinking Powerade now, so.
And everybody,
for power.
And everybody pray for me in the coming week because this girl's got a new job as a computer operator.
Yeah, welcome to the wonderful world of IT. That's...
Me and Steve are both the IT people now.
Welcome. It's going to be a bumpy ride, but anyway.
No,
we're both level one, so we ain't got that much, you know, if some shit's over our head, we just bounce it to the next people.
No, I got a lot of guys I can bounce it to. I'm the only chick in the computer department.
But anyway, I thought we'd try to watch this other giallo, which is a giallo. It's called the moment, the hour, and the weapon or some shit. Damn, I started a bunch of these because every time I try to start them.
I know they all say, do you want to resume or restart?
God dang.
That's like a same chick. Looks like they
think. Oh, yeah, I remember starting this. Oh, yeah, the nun's playing badminton. The weapon, the hour, and the motive. So we're going to try this out and see if we can get through it.
I almost couldn't make it to that last thing.
Yeah, but they got nuns playing badminton and a kitty cat there.
It's a kitty.
So. They're playing, they got a basketball too. There's nuns playing basketball.
Yeah, and badminton.
And then, like, on the same area. All right.
Crazy nuns.
My mind's being blown, so we'll be back later on.
Bye.
Badminton.
Bigfoot, the missing link, found and filmed in the woods of Northern California. Bigfoot, filmed in Bossburg, Washington. Bigfoot, filmed in a beaver swamp. Authentic motion picture footage, never before seen. Now, in the legend...
We're back, another Friday night. I'm not sure if we talked about this one. I'll look into it, but it's called Hate Man or Swift Justice.
I like the Swift Justice title better.
And it was from the late 80s.
And it shows.
Yeah, they have a blonde who gets lost. It's almost like Hills Have Eyes, except the... Michael Berman would be a hero in this movie, right?
I'm guessing, yeah. But it's a Vietnam vet that saves this girl after she gets...
And the girl is a ditzy-looking blonde with big fake boobies. She's driving across a desert or just, I don't know, some desert town. And she gets... Her car breaks down and she basically... dehydrated, and that the big hunky hermit guy finds her and takes her back and
to his cave or whatever.
Well, I think he had a shack, but yeah. He fixes her up and she finally gets to go, and then she leaves. And it's funny because at one scene that he's sitting there thinking about her, and he pulls out this autographed bikini picture she gave him.
Oh, I thought
that was pretty funny. I thought that was.
Did he bring in at the picture like that guy on Offerings looked at his girl?
No, he just like pulled it out and the camera zoomed in on the picture and it was like, what the hell? Thank you for all your help. Here's an autographed picture. But anyway, the chick leaves. She gets into a town and her car breaks down.
Yeah, what was the name of that town? The last watering hole? Or
I don't know.
But I don't know.
Everybody in the town is really rapey. So
yeah.
We have...
the guy from Porky's.
Porky's is the mayor or something, and then
And he teaches Sunday school, and then on his time off, he likes to help his buddies rape women.
Yeah,
break down in their town.
And Aldo Ray is the sheriff.
And he's swarmy. Too.
And then the other two guys who work at the garage, so they end up raping her.
I think that one guy's just the town drunk.
Oh, yeah, the one dude, yeah. Everybody gets to rape her, and they think she's pretty much dead.
Well, it's kind of like they make a mistake. They pretty much leave it to that drunk guy to make sure she's dead, just like they did on I Spit on Your Grave, leave the retarded guy to make sure.
But the one, she has this bracelet on. at the hunky hermit gave her, and it had a big chunk of gold on it. So Aldo Ray is trying to look for that gold. So he goes back, and somehow he knows exactly where that hermit lives. And anyway, the hermit finds him, and he wants to know what's going on. He finds out that he thinks that girl's dead, and he didn't rape her, but even though we did see him lay on her. But anyway, from there he moves his way back and then starts killing all these people. Unfortunately, I've had a bad case of the eye closing.
The sleepies
in the recliner. Once I get in that recliner, it's pretty much over.
And then Steve starts snoring. You have to turn up the movie to hear dialogue. That this movie had any great dialogue, but.
And at the end, we're spoiler alert. She's alive, and she does a dance number and sings, and everybody stands up, and it's a really, really bad song.
And it's really cheesy.
She's like the third Audrey or Lander sister. That's what I'm thinking. But anyway, we watched that, and one of my coworkers was asking me about a movie, The Creeping Flesh, and so I got that, and we watched that.
Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing.
Yeah, this is one of those movies they made in, like, 72 or 3.
Not in the heyday of them making movies.
Well, I mean, that's pretty close around the time, like, Amicus was making all those good anthologies.
Yeah.
You were talking about Asylum and stuff, but
which I want to watch again.
Well, I've got the DVD. I'm sure you do too, right?
Yep.
But anyway, I thought I'd seen this one before, and the more I watched it, I recognized it. But I went ahead and watched it again because my memory's gone. So all I got to do is wait a year or two and watch the movie again. And it's like watching it the first time. But this one, Peter Cushing's like some scientist, and he's been away and Africa or someplace like that, and he's bringing back this skeleton of a giant, and then if you get water on the skeleton, it grows flesh.
And there's something that looks like a penis.
Well, that's the finger.
Cuts
the finger off.
It doesn't look like a finger.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a good finger. It looks like a veiny finger, which looks like a penis. But anyway, when he throws it in the fire, it sizzles like a hot dog. But his daughter's going kind of nuts because her mom was nuts.
And there's this whole side story that has nothing to do with the creeping flesh or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I was even wrong.
It drags the movie down.
I was even wrong about that because I thought maybe she got some blood on her. And Christopher Lee is the head of the asylum, and that's where Peter Cushing's wife was at and died. And then
Christopher Lee wants
to take away his skeleton for his own research and all this nonsense. So it's not a great movie, but I mean, it's definitely worth like an afternoon, a Saturday afternoon movie or something like that, but we'll see.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was a very long movie either.
Well, it was probably a good almost an hour and a half, but well, we're going to take it. Well, one thing we're going to do is going to go to Horror Hound tomorrow in Cincinnati.
And I'm guessing, I was discussing this with Steve, I'm guessing we're the only one of our crew that is going to this. You know, everybody else is pretty much giving up on it or is going to Comic-Con.
Well, we're going because we got tickets before Ted Raimi canceled, so that's really the only reason we're going.
Let's just lay it out there, Steve. Ted Raimi's never going to come to this area.
Well,
I mean, that.
I really don't have anyone to meet. You said something about I Spit on Your Grave, and Sarah Butler from the remake's going to be there. So
yeah, but I could care less. About
I think she's hot, but anyway.
Whatever, Steve.
Dana's going to meet like Art Hindle, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to pull out my Brood poster that's in my Criterion Blu-ray.
Charles Cypher's going to be there from Halloween, and then Ted White
from
Friday
almost
4.
Said Halloween 4, but
yeah, so there's
Friday 4, and the guy,
Elvira's going to be there.
Yeah, but how much is Elvira charging for like pictures and everything?
Oh, I don't know, and I'm not going to do it. I'm actually not taking anything.
I'll be looking for maybe some Blu-rays. I mean, they usually have some, like...
And you said the hero guy from Pride 4.
Yeah.
That gets it in the basement.
Yeah, it's like Eric.
And Judy Aronson.
She got a nice little butt and a little rack, but that's been 30 years ago.
Yeah, she probably doesn't look exactly like that.
You know, you never know.
I'm not saying she won't look good, but...
Yeah, she'll look good.
But God knows how much the prices will be for different people, so...
Well, a bunch of people from X-Files are going to be there. A couple people from Walking Dead, which is going to suck.
Yeah, because a couple of people will turn into a major, like, you're letting the floodgates open when you have...
And I don't know, is this the same, that's Sharonville, is that the same place we went for Bruce Campbell? Bruce Campbell was there. So that...
Yeah. Well, that was another one where I was supposed to...
The Evil Dead chicks were there.
I met the...
That's a Sharonville?
Ladies of the Evil Dead, I think so.
Oh, I hate that, because it's like got
the
upstairs...
The Sheridan or...
Yeah, it's got upstairs and downstairs, and it's ridiculous.
I think I could be wrong, but...
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Remember it took us forever to, like, find where the Evil Dead people were?
Yeah, because they don't have anything labeled or no maps. Or,
and, like, people didn't know where Bruce Campbell was. Of course, I'd already met Bruce Campbell at that point.
But, yeah. Well, anyway.
But I met Clint Howard, too.
Yeah, time. Remember that. But
But I'm thinking that... Wasn't that Days of the Dead?
Maybe it was.
Or was that a horror hangar?
I don't know.
I'm thinking it was a Days of the Dead.
I don't know if... I never remember Days of the Dead being in Cincinnati,
well,
though.
Days of the Dead's going to be in Louisville.
Yes.
They're already...
That's playing. The death knell to the
to the Days of the Dead when they have it in Louisville.
No, I'm talking about Fright Night shit 0.0.
Oh.
The last two ones were just horrible. I mean, as far as the convention itself.
I'm not trying to offend Ken Daniels or anything, but I don't think his heart's in that anymore. He's more interested in doing pop culture comics.
Man, he blows his load on that. I mean, look at him. I mean, all these people he brings in for that. And this, it's like nothing. I'm sorry. You can't have a convention with at least one or two names that people know. You're bringing in people that were in some Halloween movie for 5 minutes. That's not your big guy.
But to be honest, I'm having to go back to going to these conventions for the guests that are coming. There for a while, I was just going to meet up with friends, but now none of our friends are going to this stuff anymore.
Well, we only go sporadically. I mean, I don't plan on going to every one. I wouldn't might have not even gone to this one if we hadn't got tickets for Ted Raimi, but... So, we're going to go to...
Well, we're not... I mean, I don't care how much they say he's going to be at something. We're not getting tickets to the last damn minute. Like, last second we can get them because he cancels every time. I don't even think Nathan will probably ask him to come back.
Well, they already invited him for the...
Oh, they did?
Fall
no,
show,
I'm surprised.
So, but, you know, who knows? But we'll talk about that later tomorrow, and then we'll be back after something here in a minute and two and four and eight. Bye.
Hours? Bye.
No. So we're freshly back from Horror Hound Cincinnati.
Well, it's been about...
What? Shh.
What?
Okay, it's been a few hours. So what?
It's been a couple.
But, a shit ton of people there. We had to park, like, in the back, and in another...
We had to walk 5 miles, no, I'm kidding.
We had to walk in, we had to park in the back, but then we had to park across the street in some kind of other...
Parking area
that wasn't probably associated with anything. It looked like a building that was, like a warehouse, but anyway.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was raining. It was really a bad...
It was cold.
Bad day to drive, that's for sure. But, Dana got to meet Art Handel, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, super nice guy, and he, of course, there wasn't like this massive line to meet him at the time that I was up there, so he talked to Steve and I for quite a while.
Yeah, and Dana got her
special Black Christmas. It's over on the bookshelf, got it on display for a little bit.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you get Art Handel talking about how great Canada is...
He'll agree with you.
Well, yeah. I told him I liked Canada and it seemed like a nice place to live. And he was talking about the health care was good. And if you wanted to go to college, it was easier. He said, here in the States, it's just stupid.
Well, Canada's... is a unique country because it's got part English.
There's French.
And French. I mean, Quebec and all that's, French. I mean, they're a dual language society, and plus some of those things are named after England. And then some, I guess some of it's French. I don't know, but...
I speak French.
Well, in Quebec and that part. But anyway, we walked around for a while, and Dana decided, the guests there are okay, but,
honestly, I was really thinking about getting Ted White's autograph because this is evidently his last convention. The last time he's going to be at any convention, I'm guessing. And I thought very seriously about getting a poster, a Friday the 13th, the final chapter poster that I have signed by him. And that is until I saw the price. And used to, I would have went on, I would have said screw it, and I would have went on and done it. But I guess this shows that I'm growing up. And I saw that $30 price tag. For just the signature, God knows he might have been charging an extra $10 or something for a photo, and I wasn't going to do that anyway.
Yeah, just to scribble your name is a lot.
And he didn't really look like he was happy to be there.
I don't know.
I saw him from kind of afar, but he looked like,
Well, because, at one point, there was a line. There was more of a line for Kane Hodder and...
there was a pretty big
David line. Bradley, which sometimes... Doug whatever. Sometimes...
Doug Bradley didn't look very happy.
He never looks happy.
He looked like he was just signing his name, and he was like, And the twins, the creepy twin girls grown up from The Shining were there. Yeah. And Danny Lloyd was supposed to be there, but I never saw him, so... We're thinking maybe he was downstairs. Downstairs is where they were doing all the photo ops, and me and Steve went down there for half a second, and there was a snake of lines everywhere, and we were like, forget it, We went back up where the main floors were. Because I didn't see Danny Lloyd. I didn't see Nick Castle. I didn't see Charles Cyphers. Who else did I not see? I don't know. There were several. That Joe Turkle guy, did I already mention him?
No. Yeah, we didn't see him.
The bartender in the
show. Right.
I didn't see him, so maybe they had all those people downstairs, possibly. But I did see Judy Aronson. And she still looks pretty good. Did you see her, Steve?
No, but I did see Sarah Butler.
Whatever, but...
She's pretty... But I think she's too skinny. I think she's lost... I don't know. To me, she looks too skinny, but...
But the truth is, I've just come to the conclusion, I was glad that I met Art Handel, and he was pretty reasonably priced at $20. I got to talk to him for a little while. He signed my Black Christmas Blu-ray, and he let me get a picture with him and didn't charge us extra for...
Well, that's... I'm not going to pay for pictures. I don't... I'm not... It might be a rare occasion, but I just... and then we're pretty slowing down because I'm not going to... I just wanted to go to it, get the bad taste of... Fright Night out of my mouth.
And Steve and I have decided we're probably not going to go too far from our home very much anymore. We might go to Wasteland.
One of these days. Not the April show, but mate, yeah. It's going to have to be something good, and then I'll definitely go.
Now, Steve said if they had a bunch of Italian people at some of these shows, he would definitely consider going.
Well, I haven't met, but yeah. But it's just, yeah, I mean, at some point, after you've been to a few of these, and I've been to quite a number of them, I'm just kind of burnt out and...
I think I am getting to the point where I'm burnt out because the crowds and the stupidity of some of the stuff that's there, like photo ops and...
Well, it you know, the body odor, like you were saying.
Well, so I didn't smell that, but Steve was evidently behind it.
I smelled something, and I couldn't tell if it was, you know, because they were printing T-shirts. Dana got a T-shirt that was printed there. And it could have been something.
Stephen King rules, if somebody hadn't seen my...
Could have been that.
It could have been, but as we all know, when you go to conventions, there's some people that smell like they haven't bathed in months. Which I don't know what that... Why would you want to do that? Being a horror fan doesn't mean that you don't bathe.
Maybe the zombies are like pinning like rotten meat to them or something to be authentic. But... I will say that...
Well, we didn't see the Walking Dead people.
They're probably downstairs, too. But they did have some good...
Steve got a shirt. You should talk about the shirt.
Well, I got a shirt. It was a Psychomania shirt, which had the skull and the symbol on that. I like that. And I was getting ready to say about some of the vendors there. They had, like, Synapse
was there. And Vinegar Syndrome.
Vinegar Syndrome, which are cool. I mean, I guess since maybe their offices are somewhere, I don't know where they're at, to be honest. But
I enjoyed talking to that guy that was selling the movie.
I mean, I'm pretty sure when he asked us, "Have you seen that movie, The Children?" Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of the people haven't. It's like, I mean, Dana Bob, yeah, well, you know that movie.
I think he was surprised.
Yeah, because I mean, but.
But Steve bought another Carlton J. Albright movie.
I don't know why. I just wanted to buy some kind of movie, and I got the Luther the Geek Blu-ray.
Which is a very, from what I can remember of it, because I have a DVD of it, is a low-budget movie, but it's entertaining, and it's gory, and all that. And Steve said as long as it wasn't shot on video crap, then it'd be okay.
Yeah.
Which I assured him. And I'm not sure about the extras. I didn't look at the extras.
Well, they got...
commentary with the director or something?
Yep. It's got...
Of course, I'm not sure what the extras were on the DVD.
Well, it says it's got all the previous Troma extras. So,
see, I think my release is Troma.
Yeah, this is like a combination between Troma and Vinegar Syndrome. And then we were, you know, Vinegar
Syndrome. Oh, when Sean Clark was there.
Yeah.
We didn't go up and talk to him.
We saw somebody posing for pictures with him. But
was somebody posing with Sean Clark?
When we first walked in there, he was posing for a picture with somebody. I mean, the court, they had the bootlegger there, and he had, like, I would say at least three or four tables. And I was like, good Lord. And a lot of these movies, I mean, all they do is they download them for torrents and burn them to discs and print out a cover and put them in a case. I'm sorry, but guess what? I'm not going to pay for that. That's ridiculous. I mean, and then they had movies there, like they had House on Sorority Row. That's out legitimately. So, why are you still selling that? But anyway.
Are they selling them any cheaper? Sometimes people.
Well, they're $10 for one, or three for 25, or so whatever.
But obviously they're making money, or bootleggers wouldn't still be showing up at these conventions.
Well, I mean, of course, you got to pay for the table. So this guy, I mean, whatever the table was, let's just say it was $250, or let's just say it was $200. Mm-hmm. That's three tables or so. That, or a three area space, I would guess. That is $600. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'm reading too much in it. Maybe it's just an area, but I don't know. Maybe he gets a deal. If you're going to get that much, maybe it's, but still, that's a lot of money, plus the hotel rooms, plus, then you got to make up odd money, and then whatever you make above what you paid is your profit, but I just can't see that being economical for a bootlegger, but, you know, I don't know, and, but whatever. And then Dana, like Dana said, we got a couple t-shirts. The one that she got was only $10, and they were basically
making them to order.
Right, they had all the blank t-shirts there, and then you said what you wanted, and they basically
put it. What color?
Well, I mean, yeah, you wanted the red for Monster Squad. It's like the.
Yeah.
So, you know, mine was a little more expensive, but I don't know the process on there, because it felt, it was a super thin shirt, and then the screen print on it was very, you know, you couldn't feel it, so it was really good. I hopefully won't come off. I don't think it will come out. It just seems like it's a good, whatever process they used was good enough for that. And I mean, and you know, I didn't want to spend a whole lot of money, but we ended up spending all the money that we took, which only took $50.
Well, I had $20 when I came back, but then I took some after we got back home.
Well, what did I do? Oh yeah, I took $50, and then I spent $15 I spent $10 or $12 on lunch. So
we ate at KFC.
Yeah. So
KFC in.
It was in Kentucky.
We were in Kentucky. Well, yeah. I get confused.
Yeah.
We had already left Ohio by that time.
Yeah, we were near Carrollton, I think, somewhere past.
Where that bus crash was.
Well, I think it was. Past it, but it was.
Well, I saw a sign.
Yeah, that's they always. That's where they have the bus crash thing there. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about the convention itself. I think it's just after you've been to so many.
Yeah, it's you're just kind of overall convention experience.
It's
we're not
all
pinpointing one.
Yeah, I'm not. Now, I mean, I'm sure it's fine. We definitely, it was the quickest we got in. We walked in. And
got our armbands.
Basically, we were both racing to the bathroom, but we saw there was an opening, and we got our bands real 5 minutes or two minutes basically.
Not like that one time where we were in a line forever.
Yeah, we were in a line for like over an hour just waiting to get in, but we got in and then we just walked around two or three times, and then.
And we were like, you ready to go? Yeah.
I think this, I'm not sure if this was the shortest amount of time, but it probably is close to it, if not.
It's got
to
be.
It was like an hour and 15 minutes. I mean, really,
and
it was.
And me and Steve just looked at each other and we were like.
And I couldn't believe it was that long, to be honest. I mean, just you talking to Art Hindle was 15 minutes or so.
I mean, but I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
I'm
not saying.
That was the highlight of my trip there, because you know, you never know what these people are going to be like, you know, and I'm always slightly hesitant before I go up to anybody, because you really don't know what this experience
is. Well, you don't want to see somebody you like and then meet them and they're complete assholes.
So yeah, but I had the feeling that Art Hindle was not going to be like that, although Art Hindle looks like a college professor. That's what Steve and I were talking about.
I'm trying to think of everybody else there, but he seemed the most out of place to me, because, I mean, at least his demeanor.
He seemed above all of this convention.
I mean, I don't know if he's doing it for the money or doing it for other reasons, but I mean, it doesn't matter.
I felt like when I got up there and was talking to him that he was enjoying himself, not that
yeah.
He was bored or just wanted to get out there or. You know, some of the people look like, geez, get me out of here. I don't, you know, I just, I've signed autographs all day. I want to go to the bar and get a drink or something. I mean, that's just the way some of them look.
Yeah. Well, so that...
And we didn't see any of our... I mean, they may have been there, but we didn't see any of our regular buddies.
Well, I don't think...
At this one.
I mean, it was a real gloomy day, and it's a long drive. Even for us, it was a long drive, but for others, it was longer. But I don't know how many conventions we'll be going to in the future. Like I say, it's going to have to be somebody
we
want to meet.
We said, too, that we're going to try to keep most of our convention experiences close to home.
But anyway, we got home, rested, and watched a Edgar Wallace movie called The Sinister Monk, which was kind of a weird...
It was weird.
I mean, it's... All these are called... Edgar Wallace is called, like, crimmies or something. And they're mostly, like, crime movies. But the ones I want to watch are a little bit more, like, stalkery kind of slasher movies. But, I mean, this one definitely wasn't that. But... they all take place in, like, England, even though everybody speaks German. And it was about inheritance and a monk who can kill people with a whip around their neck.
Of course, I don't know what the monk had to do with the rest of the...
It really didn't have much to do.
It was like that, we probably already talked about that thing we watched last night.
I don't remember what we watched.
The Creeping Flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, they had these side stories that really had nothing to do with the main plot.
But anyway, it was okay for what it was. Like, it was a more of a crime movie involving smuggling and stuff. I mean, it was like, what the crap? But anyway.
And it had these schoolgirls dancing to records, and they had a Beatles record laid out there, but they obviously weren't listening to the
Beatles.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're probably going to watch and do a commentary for Sleepaway Camp 3.
Which was requested.
Yeah.
We either do that one or, what was it,
Friday 3 and something else, but I don't want to.
Although there was something else.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that.
What was it?
I don't know. I had to look.
I'm just curious about what Steve, like, put a...
But then, also we'll have a talk about Luther the Geek as well, but maybe. But we'll take a break and we'll be back after this.
Bye.
Charlton Heston is the Omega Man. The Omega Man, more than fantasy, maybe the future. Rated GP.
These women have just seen their doctor. Dr. Death. He stalks the city through the dark of night.
I think somebody's coming toward my apartment.
He has powers more terrible than any man who ever lived. Don't answer your doorbell.
What do you want?
It may be Dr. Death making a house call. Rated R, restricted. Under 17.
We're back, and I mainly watched...
I tried to watch some of it cooking.
Well, like, about last night, watched Blind Date from 1990, I think. It was, didn't have Bruce Willis or Kim Basinger on it.
What?
Not that one.
Wasn't that one, though.
This was, It was directed by the same guy who directed that Island of Death.
Which, they're two totally different movies.
Nick Master Ofke, or
Master Vakas.
Yeah, just, that's back. That's Dr. Vakas.
If you can't understand what we're saying, go look it up.
But, of course, this took place in Greece. And
we never did figure out if they were trying to make us believe that was the United States, but they didn't do a very good job.
Well, I mean, all the signs had it and stuff. Jeffrey Bottoms and Kirstie Alley. And
Kirstie Alley in her sexy days.
Yes.
Sexy years.
Wait a second. No, this was like... 84. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was 84. So
it was almost around the same time as Summer School. She did Summer School with Mark Harmon.
So Jeffrey Bottoms, I don't know what the hell he was. What was he? Oh, he was some kind of photographer. Anyway, he has some incident that he loses his sight. And what's his name? Kerr?
Oh, Kier DeLay.
Yeah, from
Black Christmas, the original Black Christmas, and also from 2001.
Well, anyway, he's some kind of... not really a doctor.
He might be an experimental surgeon of some sort.
Well, yeah, he was something. And it was funny because he created this device that they implanted some kind of metal plates in his brain. And then they had like a device that allowed him to see outlines of stuff like really bad, like dot matrix printer shit.
Yeah.
Looking.
And wasn't he, before he lost his sight, wasn't he playing Pong on, like, how many screens?
Like six screens. No, he's playing Super Breakout on...
Super Breakout.
The Atari 2600. But anyway, this device that he wears is concealed in a Walkman. And when he puts... He's actually seeing through his earphones.
Yeah.
So it... And like Dana's saying, at one point he was playing Pong on like six TV screens in his bedroom. And that reminds me a lot of some movies that dislike. I think I said this to you. How am I supposed to relate to this guy?
Yeah, you did say that.
I mean, okay, he's playing on one screen, but okay, why you have six? No one has six TVs in their bedroom like that.
I mean, were they trying to say that the guy was
successful?
Yeah, or
I don't know.
Off?
I don't know. But he actually connects the Atari 2600 to his device to see, and it overloads his brain.
And he gets disconnected from it one time, and it takes him
how
long to get reconnected? And I'm like, I know the guy can't see, but you should be able to feel how to get that reconnected.
But apparently, there was some traumatic stuff. Linnea, shut up. There was some traumatic stuff that went on early in his life, and he had this girlfriend.
A blonde girl.
And, like, I guess they had a bunch of people, guys attacked him and raped her and then beat him up. And
she went to a mental hospital or something.
Well, and he actually sees her early in the movie, and we don't know who she is, but...
But he's with Kirstie Alley.
Yeah, and this is like... Yeah, he sees her after all these years, but she never sees him. And the lady playing that is Atlanta Clarkson, which Phil Spector killed.
Steve and I had a whole separate discussion about Phil Spector how crazy he was.
But, yeah, so...
Probably... Is he still living?
Yeah, he's in jail.
Okay. But, well, I think he needs to be.
Yeah, but... And, of course, at this time, there's somebody going around Greece... killing women, and one of them was, I think her Marta Saris, Counselor Troy from the Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, yeah, Steve was talking about that, too.
And you can see her boobies, but anyway, they...
Isn't she playing a hooker?
Yeah, he picks up girls and takes them back, and then he, I either kind of handcuffs them or ties them up or something, and then... He takes his scalp out and cuts him up, cuts open.
No! Linnea's being mouthy.
Yeah. So, anyway.
It's somebody else that's in the movie is the guy that played Greg Marmalard on Animal House.
Yeah. But anyway, and here we are, not to give something away. I mean, it's not a great movie by any means, but it's just a weird kind of thing about, he never regains his sight. I mean,
me and Steve kept thinking that he would regain
his sight's got something to do with trauma. It's not like it was a, it's all psychological. Yeah, it's not something physically wrong with him. It's just some kind of mental thing.
The doctors even say we can't understand why you can't.
Yeah. See. So that was just like, well, and then it ends, and it's like, what the hell? I mean, that you know, most movies. Ow, Sammy.
Most.
Then with
most movies have a little bit of a resolution, and I felt like this movie had zero resolution.
No, it didn't have none. All right, so the next movie we watched was, or tonight was, like the, what I like to call the Panini horror.
It sounds like you said the Panini horror.
Horror.
Yeah, but I think it's actually Pangini.
Yeah. And it was,
it's Donald Pleasance on it.
It's got to be one of these late 80s, it's one of these movies I've seen the cover and I've had it for a while, but just never got around to watching it. It is, one of those, like I say, like a late 80s, or 1990, kind of Italian horror movie. Mm-hmm. All the voices are so recognizable from, like, demons,
Bloody Moon. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, there's everybody. So it's
they had to use the same group of people to dub these movies.
And also, what leads me to believe it's like 88, 89, 90 is because near the beginning they have this girl group and they're playing this music and the music is
suspiciously like Bon Jovi.
Yeah, it sounds like Bad Medicine. And it was funny. I actually thought, well,
that
I like...
That wasn't Bad Medicine, was it?
Yeah.
You did love a bad name, wasn't it?
Maybe that. I don't know, but it sounded like Bad Medicine to me, but I don't all know. Right. You're probably right.
Well, whatever.
But anyway, unfortunately, that was like the high point, because from there, this music, they wanted to make a music video, so they went to this...
They wanted to be like Michael Jackson and make a fantastic musical clip or something.
A video clip. They didn't call it. I think they probably changed it because just to make the lip sync up because they could music video. Okay. But they were making a music video and then people started getting killed by this big life size version of Blade from Puppet Master.
Yeah. Actually, I thought it looked like a doll or a marionette.
And he had a blade in his, he had a blade come out of a violin, which is weird. And Dario Nicoletti shows up for a little while, which he's the owner
not,
of
the... not the best movie she was in.
Well, she's done worse and maybe not.
She's done a lot better, too.
Yeah, this movie's pretty... It's one of the movies that are like, it doesn't really have any substance to it at all. I mean, you could take some of the Fulci movies that have, like even Manhattan Baby has more substance to it than this.
Well, I still have a problem with Manhattan Baby.
You have a problem?
With it being slow.
Yeah, that's actually coming on Blu-ray from Blue Underground, I think. Why in the world, I don't know.
We might want to wait till after we talk about the... more about the Pangini horror.
There ain't much else to talk about it. I mean, Donald Pleasance in it, and he has his voice is dubbed by someone else.
Yeah, it's very
weird. And she's gonna get it. But
wait till we get done doing this show, Nay.
Nay's gonna get the water hose.
Brink says, "Oh, I want the water hose."
Brink likes the water hose.
She likes to attack it.
But. Anyway, that's about it. Heard that, listened to some podcasts, and I heard that the son of the producers of Rocktober Blood is putting out a Blu-ray. And these are going to be like Blu-ray R's and DVD R's. Because he's doing everything himself.
Oh,
and
wow.
Plus, actually, it's all going to some type of charity. I don't know.
Which I think's a good
so,
thing.
But, I mean, like the Blu-rays, you get the Blu-ray and the soundtrack for $50 or the DVD and the soundtrack for $30.
Which I'll have to see how my...
And this is
going to
be very...
But...
Well, it's going to be very, very limited edition. So, and also they're going to be making... For some reason, they're going to make a sequel Rocktober Blood 2, Billy's Revenge, which I wonder how much kind of music they're going to have in there. They're going to have
of
music.
I don't know why they would call it Billy's Revenge. It wasn't Billy I that was doing the killing. It was his brother.
Well, maybe it's Billy this time.
Well, Billy's dead. Did he come back from the dead?
Maybe he didn't get electrocuted. Is it when he went to get electrocuted? Or killed in prison, he got executed or something, right?
Yeah, I can't remember if they said.
But I don't know. It's just all ridiculous. But
I think was his brother's name.
I don't know. It's all ridiculous. But you know,
Johnny's Revenge.
But anyway, I want to show Dana this the next movie we're gonna watch. If I can find it.
I hope this is a good movie.
It's got Giovanni
Ribisi,
or Lombardo Ribisi. And it's called Violent Shit, 2015. It's the... You remember
Are
that shitty...
Kidding me?
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding you.
Giovanni's in it?
Yes.
Oh, God, why?
Well, I don't know.
He's so much better than that.
We don't know that. But anyway, we're going to try to give this a shot, and hopefully it's decent. So, we'll be back.
Cleaver, cleaver, chop, chop. First the mom and then the pop. Then we'll get the pretty girl. We'll get her right between the curl.
National General Pictures presents the Boating Brothers production, Twisted Nerve. Starring Haley Mills as the girl trapped in a web of mayhem and massacre. And Hugh Bennett as the boy who wanted her more than life itself and would kill anyone who came between them. Twisted Nerve in Technicolor. This picture is rated M, suggested for mature audiences.
Cleaver, cleaver, cha-cha, cha-cha. First the mom, then the papa. Then we'll get
Alright, so we finished. Well, Dana watched. I kind of was in zombie land.
Well, I don't know if you can call it Dana watch, but.
But
okay.
Violent Shit, the movie, which is a remake, and it's kind of weird because Violent Shit was a German movie, but this is an Italian movie.
I think it's a German / Italian.
Music was by Simonetti's Goblin, right. Which was interesting. Would you say the music's the best part of the whole thing?
If you have to say there's a best part.
Giovanni Lombardo Ribisi's in it.
I was so sad to see him in this because I have great respect for this man. Why on earth he was in this movie, I have no idea.
You know, like, they had some directors in here. They had the original director, I can't remember how to pronounce it, but it's something Andre something something. Or,
and Barbara McNulty, or how you pronounce her name, was at the very, very end.
Oh, okay.
She was asleep then.
I was setting up asleep.
Yeah.
The Luigi Cusi and...
Yeah,
Costellari or something, you know, the director of the original Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
They were in here and
all these really cool people were in it, but why is the only question I have.
Yeah, I mean, from what I saw, I just don't understand what the hell's going on, really. I mean,
I'm surprised they didn't stick like Ozzy Argento and, you know, other people like that.
I don't think I mean, I'm not saying she has done great movies, but she probably wouldn't be doing this. So, I don't know. It's a very weird movie. I'll probably try to watch it again down the road sometime. But
well, I'll just tell everybody, there's no reason you need to see this movie. There's no
I would agree that you probably don't need to.
I mean, the whole, you know, I'm not giving anything away, but the whole last portion of the movie was just one big cocaine sex orgy.
Yeah, there was one scene where guy was putting cocaine on people's legs and stuff, and
snorting it off.
Probably other parts.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to watch a movie during the afternoon, and we watched, or I watched, was Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. It was okay, but it, I mean, I just...
I was dying Easter eggs for tomorrow.
Well, it was all right, but nothing substantial there for me to really jump into.
I would just say from the parts I heard and saw, it was just okay.
Yeah, exactly. It was just okay.
Not horrible, but not astounding.
No. So, so I saw that, like, I think 88 films, I'm thinking it's 88 films, or it could be Arrow, they're putting out this Blu-ray set called Dangerous Dames, and basically it's the two movies, The Red Queen Kills Seven Times and The Night That Evelyn...
came out of the grave.
Yeah.
And that's funny, though, because both movies have somebody named Evelyn.
Yeah, because I bought the original set that came with the little figurine of the Red Queen and stuff. And this, I've tried to watch it, and I just never got into it.
I just always thought Steve had watched it, because, I mean, it has a very young Sybil Danning. It has Barbara Boucher in it.
Yeah.
And
but no, I did not. But... it's a pretty good giallo.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty decent. I was baking some bread. It
had the standard kind of music. I don't know what you call that instrument where it's like a piano, but it's something else. You know what I'm talking about?
It's like a piano with something.
You know, back in the 60s where they were playing all the music, a lot of the music came from this thing. It was like a piano, but I don't even know what you call it.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? I can't tell you what it is, but...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like I don't know, but anyway. Nay, nay. So the Blu-ray's coming out later. So, I mean, the DVDs will do me fine. I'm not, you know.
Let me ask you this, because I don't remember. Did Barbara Boucher get naked in this?
Well, you didn't. There was a scene where she got raped. And then, yeah, okay. She did get naked.
Well, I mean, I don't want you to give anything away. I just...
But, yeah, that was a weird one. It came out of left field, at least, you know. And it didn't really have anything to do with the movie, and it was never addressed after that. So
the rape didn't have anything...
Okay. I mean, it had something to do with the movie, but it's just like it never was addressed.
Oh.
So...
So no cops, like, caught anybody or nothing like that?
Well, I won't go into it.
Oh, okay.
But,
we don't want to give stuff away.
But, yeah, it's a weird...
And, it had your typical, like...
J&B drink bottles everywhere.
And sleazy guy that's wanting money from people.
It was funny because this one dude had a toupee on when he got killed. His toupee. Yeah. He was crawling around in the bushes to escape the killer. And
he was like, hey, his hair fell off.
His hair fell off. And he didn't look Italian. He looked English.
I don't know. He looked Italian because that was the guy I was talking about had the redness under his eyes.
I don't know.
And I've asked Steve this before. Why do Italians always look like they're sickly? The men, not the women.
I don't know. But I think I'm just going to go ahead and watch the night. I haven't watched that either. The full thing, if I can remember, is the night that Evelyn... came out of the grave.
No, that I've seen any.
It's it was on a lot of the Brentwood sets. I mean, I got it out there.
Yeah, I think I've got it on a set. I just haven't ever watched it. There's a lot of that stuff I haven't watched that's on those sets.
Yeah, there was a point where I would go through each one and watch some of those. Some of them are pretty cool, and of course some of them are not. But those things were a good way to get movies, at least.
If you're not concerned with quality.
Well, one of them, I got a couple good transfers. I mean, House on the Edge of the Park is a letterboxed.
Really?
In decent quality.
Yeah, I wasn't ever able to get that one. I mean, I have the movie now, but.
Yeah, I got it signed and everything, but.
I don't have it signed.
I got it by David Hess at one time.
I actually met David Hess. Did you meet David
Hess? Yeah, but either he wasn't feeling good or he just wasn't in a good mood. I don't know.
When I met him, he was, he was very nice and stuff. But I met him the first time to Cinema Wasteland. I met the Last House on the Left baddies, as they called them. So I met David Hess and Jeremy Rain and Fred Lincoln and that Mark Scheffler.
Yeah.
I got to meet all of them at one time. And that's like back when the autographs weren't super expensive. So that's my little story.
I'm going to stick to it. But, well, bite Nay.
He's going to bite Nay's ears.
Man bites dog. That's a movie.
That's a newspaper says.
That's a movie. But anyway, we're going to take a break and watch some Evelyn getting out of the grave.
Bye.
And we're going to finish this show up. We finished up watching about Evelyn coming out of a grave.
Yeah, which, it was a okay movie, I guess.
It was...
For years, I was under the illusion that it was an American-made movie.
Well, I was under the impression it was more of just a... strictly sexual kind of thing, but it had more to it than that.
Although that guy did have a dungeon, like.
Well, the thing was that he killed a couple girls, and then he decided he wanted to get married.
Yeah.
And then that was a strange that that's how you do it.
But I don't want to give anything away. It's just it's kind of a weird setup.
Yeah.
And things were never as they seemed. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I mean, the DVD said I would probably stick with that. I mean, I wouldn't say both of these are...
I thought they were similar plot-wise.
Well, the director is the same.
Oh, okay.
And then plus Evelyn, the name Evelyn. And
they
should just call it the Evelyn set or something.
They should have.
I don't know if I would say... the Blu-ray may be crazy awesome, but the movies themselves are kind of like a B-level kind of thing and not, but whatever.
They're not horrible movies, they're just not an exceptional.
Yeah. And then a lot of these older titles are coming out on Blu-ray, and we watched... The Curse 2, The Bite, which I hadn't seen forever.
I've seen the original Curse movie.
And I hadn't seen it in widescreen.
And I didn't know it had Jill Schoen on it.
Or Jamie Farr from MASH.
Yeah. And Svensson. However you pronounce the name. He always plays a cop. Always.
He wasn't playing a good cop at the beginning, and I don't know.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, he was drinking beer, driving, going, there's a lot of truck drivers drinking beer while they're driving. And
was he the cop in Sweet 16? Wasn't he the kid's dad? Wasn't he a cop?
Maybe.
I thought he was. Dana Kimmel's dad and that other
kid. Oh, yeah. I think so.
Because he almost always plays a cop. Well,
he was in Walking Tall, the movie, the 2 and 3.
Yeah.
But anyway, I still don't understand the premise of this movie because it didn't make any sense. They did something. At the beginning, they were...
It's a nuclear testing site.
Yeah, so apparently...
Right?
Apparently, there's supposed to be some kind of radiation that got in this snake, and the snake bit this guy. And then from that, it was taking over his arm, and they were driving across country.
It went just completely crazy towards the end.
I mean, snakes coming out of his mouth, and it was just,
all size snakes, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't like there were a bunch of little snakes. There were some little snakes.
For some reason, I think the curse... That wasn't a Lovecraft thing, was it? The first with Will Wheaton? Will Wheaton?
I don't think so.
Will Wheaton.
But I told Steve
with
that
Sheriff Lobos in it.
Sheriff Lobos.
Claude Aiken. Atkins.
I told Steve though that there was something about the curse, the original movie, that unnerved me.
This one's just a name-only sequel, and then even in the title card, they don't even mention it. Now, I'll be honest, I can't remember ever seeing 3 and 4.
No.
And I think one of them has the... Was it 4's got, like, the ultimate sacrifice or something crazy like that?
So.
Which makes me want to watch that because I want to see what the ultimate sacrifice is, but...
We might as well see 3 and 4.
Yeah, but...
Because I told Steve I had never seen the second one.
It was on Joe Bob on the movie channel, but of course it wasn't widescreen.
And I wonder what... Do you remember what Joe Bob said about it?
But...
And it was like a lot of those... When did this movie come out? Do you remember?
It was like late... Like 89.
To me, it was almost 90. Like... It wasn't a transformation movie, but it was almost like those ones like Beast Within and stuff like that.
They had that Screaming Mad George did the special effects, which was pretty neat.
And some of the effects reminded me of The Thing.
Well, the one that you didn't see where he ripped in and ripped out the heart and the lungs or something out of this guy's body. But yeah, it was decent. The special effects were decent. It's more one of those movies you'd rent. And then
one of those low budget things that you might see at the video rental stores. And
oh yeah.
Say, well, this might be.
I'm pretty sure I saw The Curse. Yeah, I think I rented it on VHS. Back in them days, you'd get like a bunch of sequels to different crazy movies.
I'm thinking I saw the original Curse as a rental. That was back when I was renting a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Either that, or I saw it on satellite or cable at Granny's. You know, my granny always said there was awful stuff on cable back in the 80s. She said there was all that dirty stuff on there, but that was like Cinemax and Showtime. And
well, that's it for this time. Maybe we'll figure out something next time.
Well, I don't know if we should talk about that or not.
What?
What we were thinking about doing.
No, because I don't even know.
Okay.
So, we'll be back next time.
Bye.
Will Wheaton.